This is Orphan Care Sunday, where we're paying attention to caring for children, investing in the lives of children, and especially paying attention to the global, worldwide, and local orphan crisis. And up here with me today, Eric and Jenny Fridge. I've known Eric and Jenny for a lot of years, longtime members here, and just fantastic people. And I don't know of any two people who are stronger advocates for healthy families, and they've helped a lot of us over the years. Eric and Jenny, thank you for being here today. Everybody say hi, Eric and Jenny.
Hi.
Yeah, and so let me go ahead and put a scripture up here. It's James chapter 1 and verse 27. And this scripture reads as follows. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. One more time, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So, as we talk about orphan care, adoption, foster care, Jenny, Eric, how did you two get involved with this ministry?
Well, you know, our hearts were first turned towards adoption and orphan care right here at this church. I mean, when we came to First Colony originally, we were just in our first year of marriage. We kind of feel like we've grown up here, and we're so grateful to be a part of a church that not only recognizes the needs that children have, but actually does something about it. You know, for decades now, our church has sent out folks on mission trips around the world, meeting the needs of children, but also this church has offered just countless volunteer opportunities right here in our community that are really making a difference for kids.
And over the course of many years, we were led to international adoption, specifically to China. And we'd love to tell all of that story. But in a nutshell, when we began, it was a six-month wait, and it ended up being 3 long years. It was my hardest and longest pregnancy, waiting for Maylin to come home. And during that time, we felt a wave of God's provision for our family. And many of you were a part of that. You know what that is. And we'd love to share that. We are a part of watching other families go through that journey of adoption. And it is equally as exciting every single time. We love to gather information and resources and then simply provide them to other people so that they can take their next steps.
So let's talk about the current status. Let's talk about some numbers and needs. What's the current status of children in need on a global scale and also on a local scale?
You know, when you think about this worldwide, the numbers can be a little bit overwhelming. Right now, there's an estimated about 140 million orphans in the world. When you dig down a little deeper into those numbers, about 17 million of those children have lost one or both parents to AIDS. When you look at that bigger picture of what's really going on with children all across the world, there's about an estimated about 300 million children that have been abused, neglected, trafficked, all sorts of things that fall into this category of kids. But that's not just in other places like we sometimes think. That's in America as well. In fact, most recent reports say that about 3 million children are either neglected or abused. These are confirmed cases of neglect and abuse right here in America, which kind of leads us to today. Today is a special day across our nation. It's one of the reasons that you'll see a number of folks with these blue shirts on. Today is called Blue Sunday, which is a national awareness for children in crisis. And today, there are churches all across our country that are praying for these children. In fact, that's what we've been doing this morning, praying for those children, raising awareness, talking about adoption, talking about foster care. But today here in America, there's really about 400,000 children in the foster care system. Now, when we bring that a little closer to home, right here in Region 6, which is the greater Houston area, there are 800 children here in our city, 800 more children than there are foster homes available to receive them, which kind of makes me ask the question, you know, what if the church were to step up and really raise that awareness? I mean, how many children's lives could be changed through a Christian home?
So somebody says, okay, I want to get even more engaged in providing care for children in need. What are some practical steps? How can they get more involved?
Great question. There are many ways to get involved. In fact, we need to say from the start that we understand not everyone is called to adoption and foster care. That's reality. But we do feel like everyone is called to do something. And there are lots of somethings to be done. I'll start with one, a new ministry partner that we've just learned of, Kay's Carry-Ons. Kay grew up in the foster care system. And she will tell you that children in the foster care system move from home to home, generally 3 to 5 home placements in a year, carrying their personal belongings in a black trash bag. All of their personal belongings in a black trash bag. And so Kay Kaiser aims to change that mission. Her mission is to provide luggage, rolling suitcases to kids in foster care. So that is something you can look into.
And that's a great way to do that. In fact, we this morning during our presentation time during Bible class hour, we began to collect names. Folks just kind of said, hey, we want to help out. We've got an extra suitcase in the closet at home, and we'd like to bring that and donate that to a kiddo. And so this week, if you have some extra luggage around your house, we'd love to receive that Wednesday night. And then again, next Sunday morning, we're going to have a place where we can collect those, and then we'll deliver those to hopefully make that just simple, easy gift to give those foster care kids that are go from home to home a little dignity as they go with all their belongings together.
It can be new, it can be good quality used, mm-hmm. but carry on size.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Lots of other ways that you can get involved as well. One of the things that Jenny and I have started in is becoming a respite care provider, which is just real simply, we have become a host home for foster children where their regular foster care, they might be traveling or away for an extended period of time, and those foster children need a place to go. And so a real easy way where you know that there's a kind of a time frame where you can host a child, love on that child during that time while their regular host foster family is away is a great way to get involved. You can also become a babysitter for foster families as well as adoptive families, and that might seem like just a easy, you know, does that really matter? It really does matter, because for those families, having those extra set of hands or having a little help to be able to go on a date night or spend a little time away from the kiddos is such an important thing for a marriage. And so just helping out in those ways is really, really a big deal. But there's lots of other different ways. You could become a CASA volunteer. A CASA volunteer is a court-appointed special advocate for a child in the foster care system, where you kind of follow one child through all of their care, and you gather information, you get to know that child, and let the court system see a little bit better picture of their care along their journey. This morning, we've had a number of other ministry partners that are here with us. One of those is Arms of Hope. Arms of Hope is a children's home that has campuses around Texas, and we've been partnered with Arms of Hope for a number of years. Every year, we send a couple of different groups to one of the Arms of Hope campuses where we work to provide support for the house parents as well as the children. But more recently, Arms of Hope has opened up some resource centers right here in Houston, and they're always looking for volunteers. And so you can volunteer, whether that was once a week or once a month or a couple times a year. They can always use extra hands to help provide resources to those families. Another partner ministry that we've known for a long time is Hope for Haiti's Children. In fact, this morning they have a booth set up out in the lobby, and there's a couple different ways you can help out with Hope for Haiti's Children. One is become a child sponsor. In other words, to sponsor a Haitian child, you donate some money each month, and they set that up for you, and that provides food, clothing, education for children who really have very, very little hope. But not only can you become a child sponsor, but you can also go on one of our trips to Haiti to go be involved in that ministry. We've gone a number of different times to work there in the orphanage, and it really is a great, great blessing. But you can stop by that booth and find out a little bit more information about Hope for Haiti's Children.
And if you have an interest in adoption and foster care, we can connect you with a number of agencies. There are agencies all over Houston, both for international, domestic, and or private adoption, and they will walk with you through that journey from the beginning to the end. They will take your hand, and they will explain the cost, they will explain the timeline, they will explain the education and the training, and you just do one thing at a time, and they carry you through.
Okay, this is really good information, very practical information, helpful. You know, you hear numbers like in excess of 140 million orphans globally, something like 147. Here in the States, 400,000 children in foster care. But then you hear a number, 100,000 are adoptable. What's the difference between a child who's adoptable and a child that's not adoptable?
Great question. So the difference between foster care and adoption. Generally speaking, foster care is temporary, with the goal always of being reunification of a child with his or her birth family. If that is not possible and adoption is deemed to be in the best interest of the child, then you could pursue a foster to adopt situation. So again, the CASA advocate plays a huge role in this to determine what is best for the child and help the judge see that bigger picture. But generally speaking, in short, parental rights is what determines a child's availability for adoption, and that's going to vary case by case.
Okay. I realize that financial costs are not the only consideration, but let's talk finances here for a moment. So what is the cost to adopt a child?
So that really varies a little bit depending on which direction you go. Because you have domestic adoption, you've got private adoption, as well as international. Now for us, as we began our journey to bring our daughter Maylin home from China, we didn't have the money to do that. International adoption can be $30,000 to $40,000. Like I said, we didn't have that money, but God did. And so many folks here in this church helped us bring her home financially, which was just a huge, huge blessing. Private adoption is very similar. It's expensive because you're paying for labor and delivery, you're paying for legal costs, court costs, as well as agency fees. And so private adoption can be $40,000 to $50,000, and so that's pretty expensive. But there's another way as well. Going through the foster care system and adopting domestically can be much more reasonable, about $1,000 to $2,000 with the paperwork that you need to do, the legal fees and things like that. But along the way, there are so many agencies that are designed to help adoptive and foster families with resources. There's organizations like Show Hope. Stephen Curtis Chapman has started a foundation where they just give grants to adoptive families to help bring those children home. In fact, our daughter Maylin, she's a Show Hope kid, and so they gave us a grant to help pay for those expenses to bring her home. But you might not know this, a lot of companies actually have employee adoption benefits, which help also, and oftentimes your company might help in those fees as well. As well as there's tax credits that go along to help in those costs long term, and that can be spread out over a number of years. But there's really a lot of different resources that help the process of adoption and foster care.
That's really encouraging to hear that there are a number of resources that invest and give financial assistance to families in a very, very hands-on way. Mm-hmm. Okay, so both of you are in this together. Suppose in a marriage, one spouse is really open to pursuing foster care and or adoption, and the other spouse may not be so open. What advice would you have in a scenario like that?
The dragger and the draggee, I think, is what you're speaking of. We've seen this countless times. So we offer a considering adoption class yearly here at First Colony. It's a 3-week class where we go over all these details, answer all of your questions. And in that class, we always see draggers and draggies. It's not always the wife or the husband that's one or the other. It varies. But the questions are very similar and very much the same. I would tell you 4 things. Number 1, keep talking. Have those conversations. Keep talking. And in that, number 2, share your fears with each other. Even the dragger has fears or questions or hesitations, concerns. Are we too old? What about the cost? What about our biological kids? Lots of questions. Thirdly, to go along with that, talk to other families who've gone before you on this journey, because there are many here, and they've had some of the same questions, and they can tell you on the other side how to answer those questions and what to expect. And then finally, give it time. I still remember when we went to a Stephen Curtis Chapman concert, and we came home, and we were both at that point, and Eric said to me, "Well, are you ready to talk about it?" And I said, "Hold on a minute," and I ran to my office, and I brought back an accordion file with all of the information that I'd been keeping over the years, of things, information and things I'd gathered about adoption. And so we'd had that conversation over many years. And someone said, a praying wife is a dangerous thing. And so I'd been praying. He was there. And so we came to a point, and it was time to move forward. And so in that waiting, when you're waiting to be on the same page, if you will, pray for sure, but then also look for ways to get involved with foster care or helping another foster family, learning about global needs, orphan care. For us, we were involved in learning more about China and the culture and the people and about parenting an adopted child. There were many things that we could do in that waiting, and so that's our thought.
Very good counsel. Very good advice. The dragger and the draggee. Any thoughts on the age of a child for adoption? Any practical consideration there?
You know, for everyone, this is it's a very personal decision. For us, we decided we didn't want to adopt out of birth order for our kiddos. We had already had 3 kids, and we didn't want to disrupt that birth order at home. And so Maylin is the youngest, and she loves her position as the youngest. She loves everybody doting over her and taking care of her, and so she's very happy being the baby of the family. But that is a personal decision. But the important thing to remember is there are so many children that are older, that maybe they came into the foster care system maybe a little bit later in a family, or maybe they've been in the foster care system for a large portion of their life, but just have not gotten found their permanent placement at that time. And so the need for older children to be adopted is great. In fact, this morning you might have seen coming in here, we had what was called the Heart Gallery, and there was a number of pictures of children out in the lobby, and those are all adoptable children right here in the Houston area. And they've all got a story, and they're all looking for someone to bring them home to find their forever family. But for everybody, that is a personal decision that you have to make, because you have to ask yourself, you know, a couple of those questions. One, you have to keep your own age in mind, because when you're going through that adoption process, there are some agencies and some countries that actually have a maximum age gap between parent and child. Typically, that's between 40 and 50 years that age gap can't be any greater than that. But also, you have to ask yourself, you know, do we have the resources? Do we have the support that we need for a younger child or an older child? But I think really the bottom line for everyone that is considering is, are we ready? Are we prepared to open up our home and love another child? Are we prepared to make the sacrifices that are necessary for that? That's a question that everybody has to answer themselves.
So let's talk about why this matters uniquely to us as believers and as followers of Jesus.
Well, I think the main thing is that we are all orphans. In fact, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 says, we have been adopted into God's family. And you see this throughout Scripture in God's story, both Old Testament and New Testament. You hear how God calls us as believers to make a difference, to share his love with other people. In fact, Romans 5 says, God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which he has given us. And I believe, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to be taking that love that we've been given, and we need to share it with others. And I think children are a great place to start.
And I would add that caring for orphans is not a distinctively Christian cause. But caring for orphans that they may know the love of God as Father is uniquely Christian.
Say that one more time.
Caring for orphans is not a distinctively Christian cause. But caring for orphans that they may know the love of God as Father is uniquely Christian. I still remember a friend praying us through the waiting, another adoptive dad, and he prayed that May Lynn would know Jesus no other way. And we didn't know her name at the time. We didn't have a face. We had no idea who our child would be. But he prayed that our child would know Jesus no other way except by being in the Fridge family. And that was it. That was our heart for our child, for our adopted child. And just like Jesus, we interject ourselves into broken stories. Adoption is a broken story. There is no adoption without loss. We have to know that. But there's also a cost. There is a cost to that, financially, emotionally, physically. But the cost is so, so overwhelmed by the joy of sharing Jesus with that child. You quoted James 1:27 as we began. It's a favorite verse in the adoption community. Religion that is pure and undefiled is to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. But I have a favorite adoption advocate, Jason Johnson, who writes, and he translated, paraphrased, if you will, this verse from the Greek, and it reads like this: one of the purest and most undefiled demonstrations of the gospel is to move towards hard places and broken people, not away from them. Move towards hard places and broken people, not away from them. And I think this describes so much more than the gospel and caring for orphans. It describes, it includes victims of trafficking, the homeless, and the under-resourced in our city. It includes the parents in crisis, or maybe the struggling neighbor across the street. So our prayer today is simply that that we would all know our next steps, as it relates to orphan care, of course, but even more, that we would know our next steps as we move towards hard places and broken people, maybe just across the street.
Eric and Jenny, thank you so very, very much. Before we conclude, I want to point you to a particular passage of Scripture. It's from the Old Testament, Psalm 146. It's a part of the Hallelujah Psalms, the last five Psalms, 146 through 150, are called the Hallelujah Psalms. They all begin with the word Hallelujah, and they end with the word Hallelujah. So can we put Psalm 146 up on the screen, please? And it begins, praise the Lord, Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes and human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground, and on that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Stop there. Blessed are those whose hope is in the living God. Now, he's about to list for you several problems, several social ills. And you would think, well, these aren't reasons to praise God. These are reasons to lament. But listen, he's saying God is at work in these situations. Sure, it's a fallen world, but in the midst of the fallenness, our living God is at work. He's the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. Notice the present tense here. He's not speaking of God, well, past tense, he used to, or future tense, oh, he will someday. Right now, God's engaged. He upholds the cause of the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. He lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner He sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he will frustrate the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, God never gets tired. He never takes a day off. And he is right now more engaged in orphan care than anyone else in the universe. And so often, he's doing it in visible ways, hidden ways, supernatural ways, natural ways, but often working through his people. Right here individually in this church, you do much. And then collectively, you need to know that just every week, your tithes and offerings that are given, for example, in Haiti, we help sponsor work there that's a part of an orphanage. 12 children cared for every single day, school day, through your tithes and offerings, 400 children get a hot meal. In Honduras, we help sponsor an orphanage that cares for 30 children there. In Colombia, where Grant Wright has a team of 10 short-term mission trippers right now, we are helping to work with refugees from Venezuela. I mentioned Haiti, I mentioned Colombia, I mentioned Honduras. In Nepal, our work in Nepal specifically helps particularly young women caught in human trafficking and sex trafficking. And so you need to know that across the board in so many ways, God is at work through his own hands. He is at work through his body, believers in Jesus Christ. Now, mentioned earlier about that insert, and it's got some, you know, places that you can check on that insert to say, you know, I want some more information about foster care, adoption, etc. And so in just a moment, we'll receive that information, and thank you for considering. Hey, everybody, would you join me in thanking Eric and Jenny Fridge for serving us so well today? Yeah.